Welcome to this episode of DebtWired. I'm Adam Simoon, Head of High Yield at DebtWire Europe. On this episode, we speak to Dominic Ashcroft, Head of EMEA Leverage Finance at Goldman Sachs. This podcast will focus on the European leverage finance outlook. We will then examine the relative momentum of high yield, leverage loans, and private credit. Finally, we aim to explore how issuance tactics have adapted for the tough macroeconomic conditions. Dominic, thanks for joining us today. LevFin volumes have recovered from last year, but they still remain well below the recent historical levels of previous years. What is your outlook for European leverage finance issuance in the coming months?
Firstly, Adam, thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be on the podcast and to talk to you about the leverage finance market. We've generally been probably more resilient post-summer than maybe we'd anticipated, albeit we may be starting to see a little bit of a wobble in the market in the last week or so. Maybe before focusing on the leverage finance market specifically, just wanted to quickly comment on the macro picture, which, as well as some of the geopolitical concerns, which have probably come to the fore in the last sort of 10 days to 2 weeks, has also been a renewed focus on interest rates. This time around, with a bit less focus on current levels of inflation and more on the adjustment of long-end rates in a higher for longer environment. So up until now, market consensus has been rapid tightening of short-end rates with loosening coming early next year, which in turn gave us an inverted yield curve. This is now shifting to a much flatter forward curve, which in the medium term is likely to have a much more significant impact on equity market valuations and medium to longer term on funding costs for issuers. And I think it's this dynamic you have to adjust to from a credit market perspective going forward. Maybe turning to LevFin and the primary markets, volumes have continued to be dominated by refinancing activities year to date. By our stats, we have north of 75% of gross volumes being in the form of loan A&Es and refinancing bond trades. M&A activity has been growing month over month, but was pretty non-existent the first 5 months of the year. So building from a very low base from mid-June onwards. Back in June, we underwrote the World Trade transaction for GTCR and FIS, which at $9.4 billion across funded and unfunded debt, was the largest sub-IG underwrite since Twitter in May 2022. And together with a number of other European deals for companies like Kahoot, Infra Group, Palex, did definitely feel like momentum was coming back to deal flow. Fast forward to September and October, and whilst it's not quite a torrent yet, we've continued to see a steady flow of M&A opportunities, which require financing. And up until the last 10 days, with the macro sentiment seeming to be more constructive than maybe we'd feared coming out of the summer, we had a pretty good secondary market backdrop to which to bring primary market deals. In general, the primary market technicals feel pretty good. As I said, whilst gross issuance volumes have stepped up year over year, loan volumes we have up 90% and bonds up 45%. Net volumes have been much more benign, due to the fact that the vast majority of activity, has been, refinancing existing debt. And that in turn is obviously supporting, secondary trading levels. So combine this with some corporate M&A and refinancing activity that is taking supply away from our investors, like the Ideal Standard, takeover or merger of PGS, or the refinancing of the $6 billion plus Finastra syndicated debt stack with a direct lending deal. And we have a supply technical that is pretty strongly supportive of the secondary market, despite some of the macro headwinds that we faced in the last sort of week or so. We're also seeing OID levels creeping higher on new term loans, with a larger percentage of the secondary market now trading at 99 or above. And for your average private equity sponsor, issuing loans at 98, 99 versus 92 to 94, which was the average in the primary market last year, it obviously feels a lot more conducive to signing commitments for new M&A deals. Having said that, primary supply remains pretty thin. Lastly, just globally looking at the commitments sitting on banks' balance sheets at the moment, again, we think is a technical sort of tailwind. There's around $35 billion of global commitments. But if you take out the hung deals from last year, largest of one being Twitter, the app market commitments, you're probably closer to $15 billion, with the vast majority of this expected to feed through the market in the next 3 to 5 weeks. This means that the technical supply to market remains very constrained by almost any measure versus historical numbers, which again, should be supportive of the secondary and ultimately primary markets.
There is also now evolving competition between high yield bonds, leveraged loans, and private credit. Which asset class do you feel has the most momentum currently, Dominic?
It's a good question. And we've obviously at Goldman's been living with, you know, one of the world's largest direct lenders in the form of MBD or PIA or AWM, as it's come in different names, you know, for the last 25 years. And so for us, it's been a longer term phenomenon of our business, but it's obviously been something that has been, you know, more significant in the market in the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. I'll maybe start with, you know, sort of syndicated, you know, versus private credit. As think, you know, bond versus loan is a bit more fluid trade-off, you know, for issuers and borrowers. So answer, you know, continues to evolve with the market. Yeah, I'd say over the past 3 to 4 months, as syndicated loan prices have continued to move higher and the extreme market volatility we saw last year moves further into the rearview mirror, private equity firms putting financing in place have become a bit less focused on the worst case scenario of having something fully flexed to the caps and potentially hung, you know, with the underwriting group of banks, and a little more focused on optimizing and what they may miss if the market rallies, you know, from here. And that is a change we are seeing play out, you know, live at the moment. And we've probably given a bit of that back in the last, you know, week, just given the volatility. To go through the rough maths, you know, for people, you know, we're seeing LBO term loans clearing, you know, the market at E plus 425 to 450 at 98.5. You know, whilst private credit is pricing credit risk, you know, around sort of the low 600s margin at 97. For underwritten deals, the underwriting group, you know, would have a fee and flex on top of the 425 to 450. So there's a bit more upfront cost, but quite a significant running saving going forward. If you can get to market quickly and minimize market risk, then I think the syndicated product is offering a pretty compelling solution at the moment. If you're launching a P2P, you know, with an extended time to market, then the equation might be more balanced between the two, but we will definitely see markets coexist and offer different solutions to clients going forward. Yeah, one area we do see growing is the potential to underwrite to private capital syndications. You know, this is something GS has done, you know, a couple of times, you know, for two businesses in the last sort of 12 months. You know, a pharmaceutical business called Norgine last year, and then again for the P2P of Kahoot, you know, this year. And is a solution that is particularly relevant, you know, for some competitive situations, you know, where confidentiality is important, you know, so like take privates or preempting auctions. Maybe quickly turning to bonds versus loans. Yeah, this is probably an area, you know, where we have been most surprised by the resilience of the loan market. So at the start of the year, you know, due to a mixture of CLO arbitrage difficulty and just headline OID levels, the loan funding option was challenging, and we thought bonds would take up much more of the slack. In reality, the loan market has recovered more strongly than anticipated and is probably reverting back, you know, to provide sponsors with the most efficient source of funding for M&A. The reticence to lock in call protection of bonds and the effort required to put together a public offer memorandum, you know, continues to provide a sufficient enough barrier, you know, to bond options, you know, where a credible loan option is available.
Macroeconomic challenges remain as well, given the rising rates environment and the current geopolitical headlines. How can issuance tactics be adapted in the difficult climate, Dominic?
It's a good question, and I think it's something that's going to become, you know, more relevant, you know, as we get into a period where there's going to be a number of, you know, issuers and companies, you know, that haven't been able to successfully refinance, you know, maturities. So I think as we look forward to next year, you know, there are a number of 24 and 25 maturities across loan and bond products, you know, that will have, you know, not been able to be successfully refinanced. Your credit strats team, you know, believe this will lead to an increase in default rates. You know, with bond default rates climbing to just north of 4% and loans to, you know, just in excess of 7%. The difference really given the high proportion of the loan market, you know, financing LBOs and having a higher proportion of single B and triple C, you know, ratings. You know, this is going to have to lead us to be more creative around, you know, refinancing solutions, you know, whether that be self-help A&Es, you know, more coercive exchange offers, you know, the introduction of subordinated capital solutions, you know, to reduce headline cash pay leverage levels and, you know, unlock more conventional refinancing, you know, options, you know, or more comprehensive, you know, restructuring solutions, you know, for companies. This will also vary between sectors, you know, as we've already seen in real estate, you know, consumer exposed names and some financials, you know, who have been more acutely affected, you know, by the changed macro conditions. At the moment, it is difficult to predict exactly the path some will be forced to take, as will depend on individual operational performance of the issuers and broader market conditions. I believe, though, that the propensity of our market to evolve and come up with the required innovation, you know, will enable us to circumvent the potential worst case outcomes and should mean we avoid, you know, sustained elevated periods of volatility going forward. And for that, I think the market will, you know, continue to hold in and offer, you know, particularly those, you know, credits that are performing, probably the most efficient, you know, source of capital, you know, that's available, you know, to some investment grade issuers.
Dominic, thanks for sharing your views with us today. To our audience, thanks for listening to DebtWired. I'm Adam Samoon. You can download or listen to more episodes of DebtWired on Apple and Spotify.